It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. At the grocery store checkout, you're almost certainly paying more than you did a year ago.
So I do most of the big grocery runs for our family, and now I divide the list between needs and wants. We need more flour to make pancakes. We're running low on vanilla extract, but vanilla falls into the want category. I'll check the price once I get to the aisle and make a decision based on the other needs in the cart.
The latest Consumer Price Index shows that grocery prices in the Midwest rose by 3% on average over the last year. In the category of fruits and vegetables, prices went up 2.4% in August.
What is the perspective of Wisconsin grocers in this economic climate? Jeff Maurer owns Maurer's Market in the Wisconsin Dells. Jeff, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you, Kate. I'm glad to be here.
As we see grocery prices going up, how are your customers reacting to these changes?
Yeah, it's been a very volatile year, I would say, the last 12 months. They are reacting by buying a lot more private label than we ever have before because of the price difference between a private label and a name brand or national brand. They're definitely looking or shopping with our ad and looking for any kind of specials or deals that we may have. We also think that they are shopping multiple locations, whether it's big box or other independents maybe in the area. There are a couple of dollar stores. So I think people are trying to do whatever they can to stretch their food dollars.
So as you see more of this comparison shopping going on, how does that affect your store? What is the margin grocery stores like yours operate on when it comes to setting your prices and figuring out what can go on sale?
Well, when we put something on sale, those items are getting discounted by the manufacturer. And then we pass on that discount and then we drop our margin to the lowest possible point we can for our ad. On an everyday basis, we're maintaining the same gross profit margins that we've been doing for years. Unfortunately, though, the base cost goes up, so that means the retail also goes up as we keep the same margins. Now, one exception would be just in the last 2 weeks, I've lowered my margins on coffee because coffee has just gotten ridiculously high priced. And I decided to lower our margin in order to make it more affordable for the average customer.
So would you consider coffee to be your lost leader of sorts right now?
Definitely. Most definitely.
Are you able to sustain those low prices on coffee, for instance, though?
Not for an extended period of time. At some point, I will have to go back up again. I certainly hope, and probably I'm being naive, but I would like to think that the cost will come down at some point, and we can go back to more reasonable retail prices and go back to our normal gross profit.
Jeff, have you had to change how you do business, which wholesalers you buy from or which products you carry to accommodate these prices?
Yes. The answer to the question is yes. We are not so much looking for different suppliers, but looking for different products within the various vendor community. We currently deal with about 150 different vendors in our store, and they all carry different products and they're also changing. So we are looking for the best value. We're trying to downsize products whenever we can. We're getting away from the family, you know, the large multi-packs or larger size products and trying to come in with smaller packages, therefore having lower retails and making it more affordable.
We've seen this jump in meat, fish, poultry, and eggs, 5.6% year over year. What is happening in this category?
Not so much with poultry for us. Certainly beef has gone up, and beef is, again, just crazy how quickly it's going up and how often it's going up. We are literally checking every invoice every time we receive a shipment because the cost is changing that frequently. So it makes it extremely difficult, and we have to be very diligent in order to protect our margins. But again, the same thing, we've had to lower some of our margins in meat, especially the real important, I guess, or high volume meats like ground beef or ground chuck, some of the steaks. We've varied margin in order to make it most affordable for our customers. As far as you brought up eggs, mm-hmm. and I can't compare it. I don't recall what it was last year, but today I'm $2.89 on a dozen large white eggs. And that's a pretty reasonable price, I think.
Yes.
I
mean,
I think we probably all remember $5 and $6 a dozen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So I feel comfortable with it's getting down there where people can afford it. And it's obviously very nutritious and a nice protein for their customer, for their families.
What is the root cause here? What is driving up prices? Can you explain what's going on in the background?
Well, it really varies by category. As far as beef is concerned, there's a shortage of cattle in the U.S. The cattle ranchers have, over the past couple of years, reduced their herds for whatever reason, and I'm not sure why. But once they try to rebuild it, it takes a couple of years for that cattle to grow to a point where it's able to be processed for customer use. So it's a long-term project on that. I think a lot of it has to do with feed cost, transportation costs of getting not only the feed to the animals, but the animals to a processing center. So that's one area. And the other, frankly, is the tariffs. The tariffs are impacting us. And that's one reason why coffee prices have gone up so dramatically is the price of coffee beans coming out of Brazil or Colombia, mm-hmm. as well as then cocoa. And a lot of our chocolates have gone up. Our candy prices have really gone up recently in the last few weeks because of cocoa. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe most of that is coming out of South America. And so that is also being subject to the tariffs.
So get ready for a pricier Halloween.
Oh, certainly. Definitely pricier Halloween and unfortunately for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
With that, I want to turn our attention to SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. We know that there are changes coming to work requirements, changes to exemptions. What percentage of your business would you say comes from food stamps, and what are you anticipating here?
Up until the last year, it's been about 10% of our business has been SNAP sales or SNAP related. We are extremely lucky in Wisconsin. I understand the federal government has cut back on the benefits, and they've pushed more of those responsibilities or financial costs to the states, the individual states. And we're fortunate in Wisconsin that we have a very strong food share program. And this state has dedicated a lot of funds to help customers maintain the level of spending that they can with SNAP. So we've seen a slight decrease. Time will tell if it gets worse, depending upon the availability of funds from the federal government as well as from the state. So right now, it hasn't affected us a lot. I am concerned about the future and how it may impact us going forward.
In your partnership with local food pantries and as you sell to those pantries, what have you heard? Do you find that there are more people relying on pantries?
Oh, certainly. It is It is incredible. As I've been working with food pantries since I purchased this store 7 years ago, and to hear the change and the impact of today's environment for families and the affordability of groceries for families, there is a tremendous amount of need. And unfortunately, the food pantries do not have enough. They cannot supply enough product for the demand.
Jeff, I want to situate your store in the Wisconsin Dells, which is a tourism hub. Dells tourism hit an all-time high last year. How does tourism affect your business?
Significantly. We are certainly reliant on the tourists during the summer months and hoping that they come to the Dells and not only enjoy everything we have to offer from a community standpoint, but also hopefully they're shopping with us while they're here in town versus maybe going to the big box stores or dollar stores. So we work hard to using social media, texting, digital ads, all those kinds of things to make our tourists, make them aware that we're here and we're ready to serve.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Kate. Thank you for having me.
That is Jeff Maurer, who owns Maurer's Market in the Wisconsin Dells. We've been talking about the economic pressures on grocery stores and rising prices for the things we put in our grocery cart. Now to SNAP benefits, also known as food share here in Wisconsin. SNAP helps nearly 700,000 people in our state put food on the table, and there are major changes coming to this program. Tim Smeeting studies poverty. He is the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kate. Nice to be back.
Major changes are underway with the stricter federal rules for SNAP. How will federal changes affect hunger here in Wisconsin, do you think?
Oh, there's going to be a big effect. There's no doubt about it. They're tightening the rules. The state's going to have to undertake an awfully large amount of expense, which we can talk about, in order to enforce the rules so that they're not penalized by the USDA. There'll be a big tightening. There will be a number of people who are either thrown off or thrown into some sort of a work requirement and so forth. So my guess is that we'll probably end up with maybe 50,000 fewer Wisconsinites getting benefits now.
50,000 fewer without benefits. And you mentioned that there could be benefit losses that result from, paperwork missteps or missed deadlines. Is that a risk with these new rules?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If they determine there's been more than a 6% error rate, okay, the states can force Wisconsin to pay as much as 15% of benefit costs, which have been funded 100% by the feds in the past. So in other words, if your error rate was over 6% and they were going to charge 15% of total benefits, that could cost the state $205 million that they'd have to pay in order to keep people eating and keep people on SNAP.
These changes are coming as we see grocery prices in the Midwest up 3% compared to last year. How is grocery inflation impacting what people buy, especially for low-income households?
Oh, it is. It's hard to say exactly, but I mean, many people are bartering now and so forth. But those prices are really hard. The prices are rising faster than incomes or wages. And they're probably going to rise faster because of tariffs and other sorts of shortages. So olive oil, for instance, unless it's from the United States, it's imported. It's going to cost you more. Lots of other things, too. Depends on how much is passed through by the provider, by the grocer. but it's not pretty.
What is that relationship between food stamp benefits and grocery stores? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Grocery stores, or SNAP, is a wonderful what we call local multiplier, okay? Because if you have SNAP, you spend more on food, and that creates more food-related jobs in the food industry, and those people spend money, too, locally, and so forth. So there's a local multiplier. So if you reverse engineer that, something like 55,000 jobs in Wisconsin probably are related to SNAP benefits. And if you cut SNAP by 20-25%, you're going to lose 15,000 jobs. And you're going to lose them in rural areas, where in particular that will lead stores to close.
And so as you watch this ripple effect with SNAP benefits and work requirement changes that started this month, they will be expanding in November. What are you watching for?
Wisconsin's going to have to be very, diligent, or they're going to lose money, as you saw before, if they don't do a really good job administering benefits the way that the feds want it to be. They're going to have to spend. We're going to have to spend money to increase food stamps, employment, and training, because more adults will need to meet the work requirement to stay on the benefit. We're going to have to hire additional quality control staff at the state and county level to review cases to make sure that we keep our error rate under 6%. And we're going to have to pay $43.5 million per year just to make up for the reduction in the federal share of costs to administer the program, which is effective October 1st. And these will grow over time. So this is, it's hard. And that's going to put a lot of pressure on food banks, which there already is a lot of pressure. Now, this isn't the only thing that's going to push it. I'll give you an example. Medicare and Medicaid folks, CMMS, have $50 billion in rural medical relief that they can distribute. Half of it's on a per state basis, but the other half is at the discretion of the administration of Mehmet Oz, who's running CMMS. And it turns out that he has stated that if you don't implement policies pushed by the Trump administrations, such as waivers barring low-income people from using food stamps to purchase non-nutritious foods, if you have mandates for schools to reestablish, don't have mandates for schools to reestablish the presidential fitness test, and a requirement that doctors take continuing education classes on nutrition, you won't get some of this money. So there's a big stick in terms of Medicaid money that's tied to how well we do with SNAP.
Well, I appreciate your time on this. Thank you so much, Tim.
You're welcome. Take care, Kate.
Tim Smeeding studies poverty and economic mobility. He's Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs. We also heard from Wisconsin Dells grocery store owner Jeff Maurer about how volatile food prices and changes to SNAP benefits are affecting grocers.